I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Hebrews in the chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to read a few verses from this passage of God's Word. Before we do so, we're going to bow our heads in prayer and ask the Lord to bless us as we gather around God's precious and God's infallible Word. Hebrews chapter 7, and then let's just bow our heads at the throne of grace in prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word this evening. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will open Thy Word to our hearts and help us to have a clear understanding of the way that Thou hast provided whereby men and women can be gloriously saved. We thank Thee for our sister Margaret's testimony of the saving grace of God in her life. And I pray that that might be so in the lives of many others in this meeting tonight, that they might say, I am coming, Lord. I'm coming now to Thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Here in answer to our prayer, we claim the covering of the blood and the infilling of Thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that You'll help us to meditate upon Thy Word. For we pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. The book of Hebrews in the chapter 7, commencing to read at verse number 25. It says in these words here, wherefore He is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for His own sins, and then for the people's. For this He did once, when He offered up Himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son who is consecrated for evermore. And we know that God will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word for His name's sake. Amen. It's that verse number 25 that I want us to keep our Bibles open at. And think of these words. It says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, we live in an age of confusion about spiritual things. It seems that there are few that really understand just God's way of salvation. In actual fact, the truth is that the vast majority of people do not believe that they need to be saved at all. The atheist says there is no God, and therefore I don't need to be saved. The moralist says, well, you be a good person and do good to others, and you'll be all right. There's no need for this salvation business. The religionist says, do what your church tells you. Live an upright life, and all will work out in the end. My friend, that's grand as far as it goes, but the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And therefore, I want us to come to this Bible tonight, this book that God has given to us, and see how a man or how a woman can be saved to the uttermost. That's what it says here in verse number 25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. We were singing about that tonight. To the uttermost He saves. Now you notice the first word in verse number 25 is the word wherefore. And you know that when you see that word wherefore or the word therefore in the scriptures, you know that this is a connecting word. In other words, what that means is this. When you read a word therefore or wherefore, as it is here in verse number 25, it links back to what has been already said. It is a linkage word because it is referring to what has gone before. And it is really summing up. In other words, it's concluding in the light of what has been said. Listen, wherefore or therefore. And so therefore we would notice, and we haven't time to do it tonight, to go into chapter number 7. But you know that chapter deals with the subject of the high priest. And in Bible times the high priest was recognized as the one who would go to God on behalf of the people.
One that was chosen, one that was approved and appointed by God. But you know, the Aaronic priesthood had a weakness that they needed to make sacrifice, first of all, for their own sins, and then as well for the sins of the people. Go back to chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, and it says in verse number 1, "For every high priest taketh from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins." And so therefore the high priest in the Old Testament, he had to offer sacrifices for himself and also for the people. If you turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 6, it says these words. "Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always in to the first tabernacle, accomplishing the sacrifice, the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself," notice that, "for himself and for the errors of the people." And there was therein lay the weakness of the high priest in the Old Testament. He offered the sacrifice for himself and for the errors of his people. Go down to chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Notice what it says, for us. He obtained redemption for us. You see, friend, he had no sacrifice to make for himself. And of course, that's what it says. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 7 again, in verse number 27. "Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people." Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is the great high priest. Now, there's also another weakness in the high priest of the Old Testament, because the Old Testament priests were never finished in their work. You'll never find that in the tabernacle or in the temple that there was a seat. There was no seat for them to sit down, because their work was never done. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished." And the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work for the redemption of our soul. Also in chapter 7, if you go back to verse number 23 of this passage of God's word, it says this in verse 23. "They truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death." In other words, the high priest of the Old Testament, they had to die. They had to die, and therefore it passed on to someone else. You see, Aaron the high priest, he was chosen of God, but Aaron died. Eleazar the high priest, but Eleazar had to die. But look at verse number 24 of that chapter. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ died, but praise God, he's alive forevermore. And so we see the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a continuous priesthood, and therefore he is able to save sinners and to make a sacrifice for our sin. Now we want to come to this verse number 25, because in light of what has been said about our Lord Jesus Christ, this man, notice what it says there. "He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." Now, there's some things I want us to notice, and we can only notice them quickly. We'll only touch on them. First of all, the plan here. What is the plan that was in the heart of God when he gave his son to the cross of Calvary? And the Bible says he is able to save. There's the plan. God's plan is a plan of salvation. You see, the Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And salvation, in other words, is God's great plan. Remember the little chorus? He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to save he came. And when we call him Savior, then we call him by his name. You see, we need to be saved because sinners are lost and they cannot find the way. You see, when a person's lost, they cannot find the way. In other words, somebody needs to find them. Somebody else needs to find them because they are lost. Now, the Bible tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, that the good shepherd who lost, this sheep was lost, the Bible says that the good shepherd went after the sheep, listen, until he found it. In other words, he doesn't give up. He goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. And then it says, and when he hath found it. And praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ goes after the sinner that he has chosen for himself. And he goes after the sinner until he finds it. Maybe there's people in this service tonight and you're far away from God. Maybe you've been running away from God for years. Let me tell you, the Lord's after you. The Lord's following after you. And I believe the Lord will follow after until he finds the sheep that is lost. Sinners need to be saved because they're dead. The Bible says, you hath he quickened or made alive who are dead in trespasses and sin. I ask the question, what can a dead man do? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. A dead man cannot take one step of himself. You remember what Jesus said concerning Lazarus? He said, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. He's dead. In other words, Lazarus is not able to do anything for himself. But what does a dead man need? He needs life. He needs life. And what did Jesus say in John's Gospel, chapter 11? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so dead men need life. But friend, he can't get life of himself. He can't make himself live. You know, men and women are told, listen, my, you need to be saved. And you need to just simply come to Jesus Christ. And my, you can be saved. Yes, that's true. But my friend, let me tell you this. Man of himself cannot come. He cannot come of himself. He will not come of himself. There has to be the working of the Spirit of God. Just turn to a wee verse over in John's Gospel, chapter 6. We often quote verse 37, and I believe it's true. I believe it with all my heart. John chapter 6, verse 37. It says this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And then it says this, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, well, how can they come if they're dead? Let me tell you. Look at verse number 44. You see, it doesn't stop at verse 37. Verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so therefore, my friend, how do sinners come to Christ? By the drawing of the Spirit of God. It says, no man can come. Now it says, come. But no man can come except the Father which has sent me, draw him. You see, salvation is of the Lord. The word save there is to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger, and to rescue from destruction. Friend, let me tell you, that's what a man is in his sin. He's in his way to danger. He's in his way to hell. He's in his way to destruction. But he needs to be saved. He needs to be rescued. He needs to be delivered from his sin and from the danger of hell and from destruction itself. And that's why he needs someone who's able to save. And so therefore, we've got this word. The plan is save, to save. But notice the person. Notice the person. It says, wherefore, he is able to save. Notice the person, friend. He is able to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And the emphasis here is on the person who saves. We sang the hymn tonight, Jesus saves. My friend, that is the real heart of the gospel. There is a Savior. Now you say to me, it says, wherefore he is able. But who's the he? Who's the he? Well, let me tell you, you're not left to yourself. Go back to verse 22 of chapter 7. It says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. In other words, it's Jesus that saves. That's the he in the verse. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that saves. Acts chapter 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus says, John chapter 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 10 verse 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Acts chapter 16 verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, come unto me, says the Lord Jesus Christ, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friend, there is the plan of salvation, but I want to tell you there is the man of salvation, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The plan here is save, salvation. And friend, you need to be saved. But here's the person. It says, he is able to save. Now notice the promise. There's the third thing. We're simply going through the text. Here's the promise. It says, wherefore he is able to save. And thank God the tense there, it is the present tense. It speaks about something that is possible right now. You can be saved right now. Thank God he's able to save you right now. It's not if he'll save. It's not he might save. But it says he is able to save. Thank God he is. Blessed assurance. Her sister Margaret giving her testimony. She said, the question was in her heart and mind. Am I saved? Am I saved? Let me tell you, my friend. It says he is able to save. It is in the present tense. You can be saved in this service right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is the present tense. And friend, that is the only assurance that I can give you. Because the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You say, well, listen, if I call on the Lord someday, will he save me? Let me tell you, my friend, the Bible doesn't promise you someday. The Bible says, today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Thank God it's not a might-be salvation. It's a blessed assurance of salvation. What did Fanny Crosby write? Blessed assurance, Jesus. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You can be saved. Why? Because there's a willing Savior. There is a willing Savior, a great Savior, my friend. And there's the promise. He is. But notice the power. Notice the power. That's the next thing. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the other. He is able. He's able. Now the word, it means to have the power to do something. In other words, he has the power to do something about your lost condition. He's able to save. That word able comes from the same word. We get our English word dynamic or dynamite. Now you'll notice dynamite has power in it. There's power in dynamite. If you want to think that there's not, well, you try to just see how you get on. And I can tell you there's power in dynamite. And let me tell you, friend, there's power in Christ to save the darkest, deepest, vilest, hellish sinner in this meeting tonight that's listening to my voice even over the World Wide Web. Let me tell you, it's not impossible for you to be saved because, thank God, he's able. He's able. Hallelujah. He's able to save. Listen, he's the power to call you. Thank God he has the power to cleanse you. Thank God he has the power to change you. He alone has the power. What did Jesus say? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Friend, let me tell you, it's up to him. It's up to him. He's able to save. He's able to save. Maybe there's some person tonight and you say, well, could I be saved? Praise God, you can. Can I be saved from the power of sin? Praise God, you can. Can I be saved from the penalty of sin? Praise God, you can. Can I be saved from the penalty of sin and pollution of sin? Praise God, you can. But there's only one who has the power to do it. His name's Jesus. He's got the power. He is able. He is able. And let me tell you, the devil's a liar if he said to you, you can't be saved, because praise God, he can save you. Way back there in the book of Daniel, we find that the king asked Daniel a question. And it's in chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. And he asked him this question. Do you remember Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? In verse number 19 of Daniel 6 it says, "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee?" Is he able to deliver you from the lions? Thank God, the answer. "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me." Is he able? That was the question the king asked. And friend, that's the question tonight. Is the Lord able to save you? Praise God, he is. Because the Bible says he's able to save. He is able to save. But listen very quickly. Let's look at the perfection. Because what kind of a salvation is this? Notice what it says in verse 25. "He is able also to save them to" what? "To the uttermost." To the uttermost. No matter how high you are, friend, thank God he's able to reach up and bring you down. No matter how low you are, praise God, he's able to reach down into the gutters of sin and to lift you up. The word uttermost means completely, utterly, perfectly, everlastingly. That's the salvation that Jesus Christ has to offer to men and women tonight. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ gives to his children. He gives them a complete salvation. He gives them an utter salvation, utterly and perfect salvation, an everlasting salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost. Friend, tonight, perhaps you're saying to yourself, you know, I've tried. I asked a person who was saved. Well, he said, "Listen, I've been calling on the Lord. I do it every night. I call on the Lord." I said, "Friend, you don't have to do that. Believe. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest your soul in what Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary. And thank God you're saved. You are saved from your sin. The Bible tells us the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And friend, let me tell you, none shall pluck you out of his hand." Romans chapter 8 says, there's nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. You really believe that? Absolutely nothing in all creation. Nothing in all creation. Neither height, nor depth, nor life, nor things present, nor powers, nor things to come. My friend, nothing. Nothing in all creation is able to separate you from the love of God. My dear, the devil tells people, you're not saved. And one of the biggest problems in many a person's life is doubts. Doubts. I'm not asking my friend to try Christ. I'm asking to trust him. For thank God he's able to save to the uttermost. Remember the old demon like a Gadara? Do you remember, Fred? He was running amongst the tombs. They tried to chain him. They tried to hold him because he was driven, energized on by the powers of hell. But my, he just pulled those fetters and he just threw them aside. No man could tame him until Jesus came. And thank God, whenever Jesus Christ came to him and the Lord Jesus cast the demons out of him, you know, the Bible says he was sitting, he was clothed, he was in right mind at the feet of Jesus. That was an uttermost salvation. That's a real salvation, isn't it? You see people talking about, listen, you hear a person say, "Well, you know, I made a profession," and then you look at their lives and there's no change in their lives, friend. Let me tell you, that's all they've got. All they've got is a profession. Our sister talked about repentance. There has to be a change of heart over sin, Finn. There has to be a change of mind over sin. And these people that think they can make a profession today and go back to the world tomorrow and that everything's all right, it's a lie from hell. It's a lie from hell. They're not saved at all, friend. They're not saved at all. The salvation that Christ has to give is a real, uttermost salvation. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Are you changed? Has your life changed? Has Christ changed your life, friend? The things that once you loved, my, you love them no more. My, it's not that the old man is dead, friend. But my, the old man will try to rise up and try to draw you back and try to pull you down. But thank God he's able to keep you from falling. The Lord saves you and the Lord's able to keep you. And my, the old devil will tempt you and the devil will try to pull you down. But you'll know there's a change. You'll know there's a change. And if there's no change, let me tell you, you can sign all the cards in the world and you can make all the professions in the world and let me tell you, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Because there has to be a change. In Christ Jesus, you become a new creature in Christ. The salvation which he gives changes man. The thief on the cross, let me tell you, he was hanging on the cross. There were two thieves, one on either side of Christ. Both thieves at the start of the cross, they were mocking Christ and they were reviling Christ. Both of them. Not one of them, the both of them. And then something happened. Thank God, I believe it was what Christ, as he looked deep into that man's heart and life, and the Lord Jesus Christ looked at him there as he hung on the cross. And as he looked on Christ, he saw the Lord God of glory. And friend, let me tell you, he saw one who was in absolute control of the whole situation on the cross. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Man, that man was changed. The Lord broke his heart. The Lord made him willing. And he cried out unto the Lord. And when he cried out unto the Lord, Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me. This day thou shalt be. He was changed. He was changed by the power of Christ. Friend, tonight, are you changed? Are you changed? Has your life been changed? Have you this uttermost salvation that God talks about? Because that's the only salvation he gives. It's an uttermost salvation. He is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God to him. Notice the particulars here. Very quickly, the particulars. Because it's only for a particular people. Notice it says here, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Those that come unto God by him. Salvation is for only those who come unto God by him. Not by the church. Not by the preacher. Not by the sacraments. Not by your works. You come unto God by him. The salvation that Christ offers brings sinners to God. And friend, let me tell you, that's the one you need. Because you see, your sin is separated between you and God. As the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, you're separated between you and God. And you need to be brought nigh to God. You can only come through him. Through him. Thank God you can come to God and find mercy. And you can find forgiveness. And you can find pardon. And you can find peace. And praise God at the end, finally, a home in heaven. But it's not for everyone. Those who come unto God by him. Only by him. Only by him. And friend, tonight you can't come to God yourself. You're totally unworthy. So is I. Totally unworthy. There's nothing that anyone in this meeting tonight can plead before God as regards, Lord, you accept me because of I did this, I did that, I did the other thing. Let me tell you, the only thing you done was the sinning. You and I are sinners. You and I are sinners. I said in Castle Derg the other night, let me tell you, there's nobody in this meeting but sinners. Not another person, only sinners. Thank God there are those who are saved sinners. Saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful man and Praise God, Jesus Christ died for me. And the particular is this. It's only for those who come unto God by Him. And then finally, notice the presentation. Because it says here, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. See, all the high priests of the Levitical priesthood, friend, they're dead. They're dead. There's no use praying to dead man. There's no use praying to dead. You know, there are people today and they say, well, listen, I'm praying to saints. And there are people, let me tell you, and they're really sincere. And they're told by their priest to pray to saints. And then they say, but their saints are dead. Let me ask you this question. What is the use of praying to somebody who's dead? Can't do any good for you. Yes, Jesus Christ died. Ah, but listen to me. That's not the end of it. Turn to the book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I am alive forevermore. Yes, he died upon the cross of Calvary because he died for our sins. That was the penalty of our sin. But thank God he rose again. The Lord Jesus Christ up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12 says, but this man, verse 11, every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Listen, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Thank God there's a man in the glory tonight. This man, the God man. And he's there in heaven. Do you know what he is? Thank God he's my advocate. He's my advocate with the Father. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 2. We have an advocate with the Father. 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Who's the us, friend? Who's the us? Turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, that great chapter of the cross, that great chapter that points us to the wounded Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And how does the chapter finish? It says, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for who? The transgressors. The transgressors. That's you and me. The transgressors. He's in heaven. Thank God he's in heaven making intercession for us. You know, many of God's people are downcast tonight. Many of God's people see little hope in the situation in this world tonight. But let me tell you, there's a man in the glory you're not forgotten about. He's at the right hand of his Father. And he maketh intercession. He prayeth for you. He's remembering you. You're not forgotten. You maybe feel that nobody cares. Nobody understands. Praise God, there is. He's making intercession for us. What a verse. Wherefore, our great high priest, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Have you come to him tonight? Have you come by faith? Have you come to God, reconciled to God through the blood of the Savior's cross by him? Come unto God by him. Yes, salvation is a costly plan. But thank God, salvation's a complete plan. Nothing more to be done. Jesus paid it all. And it's all to Christ we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but the blood of Jesus washes white as snow. Friend, I invite you, in the Savior's name, come by faith to Christ. He's the only one you need. Nobody else. Doesn't matter if everyone's against you. Listen, if you have the Lord, you have everything. You have everything you need in Christ. He's the lily of every valley. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. What a Savior. What a Savior. But is He yours? Young people up there in the gallery, is He yours? Older people, is He yours? Can you honestly say, I'm His? He's mine. I'm in Christ. Thank God in Christ you're safe for all eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank Thee. We thank Thee for an uttermost salvation. We thank You, Lord, that You reached down into the gutter and You lifted us out of the gutter of our sin and You set us, our feet, upon the rock Christ Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that in Christ will never perish. He is our righteousness. He's all we need. Friend, I don't care what else you have tonight as your head's bowed and eyes closed. If you have in Christ, you're not saved. If all you have is a profession, and yet there's nothing in evidence of a changed heart and a changed life, friend, you need to get to the cross. You need to come to God through Christ. Jesus saves. And there's someone tonight in the service and you're saying, preacher, I'm not saved. Oh, I've gone to church for years. I've listened to gospel preaching for years, but I'm not saved. Maybe some can say, I've heard the call of God in days that are past, but I'm not saved. And let me tell you, if you're not, you're lost. And you'll never be able to find yourself. You're dead. And you'll never be able to do anything for yourself. You're captive. And you'll never be able to deliver yourself. But I have good news tonight. There is a Savior. And He's mighty to save. And friend, He can save you completely. And He can save you everlastingly. For that's the only salvation that He gives. Jesus saves. As our heads bowed and eyes are closed, let's sing that little verse of that hymn, Just As I Am, without one plea. Friend, we sang the hymn before we preached tonight, I hear Thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to Thee for cleansing in the precious blood that flowed in Calvary. And then you sang these words, I'm coming, Lord. Did you mean that? Did you really mean that? I'm coming, Lord. Coming now to Thee. Here's the way, only way you can come, just as I am. O Lamb of God, I come. And if there's one tonight in the service You say, "Preacher, I'd love to come to Jesus." Maybe there's someone backslidden. And friend, there's God's word even went forth this morning. You need to come back to the Lord. You say, "Lord, I come tonight. I come just as I am." Take with your words and turn to the Lord. Words of confession of your sin. And then bring before God words of promise, because Thou hast said, "Lord, Thou hast said, if I confess my sin, You're faithful and just to forgive me my sin." And you claim and you stand the promise of God, friend, tonight. Will you do that? Every head bowed and every eye closed, and we sing this little verse, "Just as I am." There's an anxious soul in this service, I beg you in God's name, just lift your hand that I'll see it. Indicate that desire. Do not go away without Christ. "Just as I am." Let's sing it together, please. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me." Is there someone tonight in the service and you're saying, I'm coming to Christ right now. Would you lift that hand right now, Ben? I beg you in God's name, don't turn the Lord away. He's able to save you to the uttermost. If you come to God by Him, "I come." I'll be going to the minister's room. Please meet me there. Slip around the side of the building or come through the front doors, friend. But listen, in God's name, come. Do not miss the Lord. Oh, we thank God for the sunshine in the heavens. We've enjoyed it this week. But what about the sunshine of God in your soul? Peace of God. Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, don't let one in this service miss Thy great salvation. Save them. For Jesus' sake.